and welcome to No Such Thing as a Bad Movie Podcast. I'm April Atmansky, and I'm here today with...
Yabba Dabba Doo, it's Justin DeClue!
Hey, Fred. It's Colin Cunningham.
And who do we have on the line as our very special guest?
It's Joe Ramone, back for a second time. Thank you for having me back.
I was on my edge of my seat of him to do a Dino impersonation or something.
I wasn't gonna. I could have did a horrible Mick. What is it? Mick Jagged?
Yeah.
Mick Jagged. Oh, yeah.
I love rock puns. They're so great.
Me too. I love all puns. So this was the movie for me.
Rock puns.
Yes, we're talking about Viva Rock Vegas, the sequel to the Flintstones movie, for our special 150th episode. Can you guys believe we've done 150 episodes?
No, this is crazy. Well, this is kind of a prequel. I didn't even know this until like 10 minutes, 15 minutes into the movie.
We didn't realize it was a prequel until 15 minutes in the movie.
The 150th episode spectacular.
Yeah. So did you think this story began with them divorced and their lives were
yeah.
different?
Yeah, I was just confused. I was like, why is he... okay, we'll get into it. But it's like all this weird setup at the beginning is not like where I thought that the movie was supposed to start.
Yeah.
Although it does start in space. But anyway, before we actually get into the movie, why are we talking about this movie?
Because we're watching one of Joe's episodes.
That's right.
On the Flintstones, the original, which I'd never seen before. And you'd mentioned Viva Rock Vegas in your video. And I was like, we should get Joe back and do Viva Rock Vegas.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned it. The reason that this movie is a prequel is mainly because John Goodman refused to do any sequels to the Flintstones. And they were like, what else can we do? And that's, I guess, how a prequel came to be.
They're like, who's so the with, next with best that... thing? The guy who was in the Full Monty.
Is it the guy that was in the Full Monty?
Mark Addy.
Yeah, yes, okay. Because yeah. there's some other actor that looks like him that we are confused about. But no, it is, in fact, Mark Addy, who was also in Jack Frost. Right, Colin?
Yeah, it's true. And okay. I feel like a lot of English actors just look like Mark Addy.
Yes,
he's quite a hunk.
Can I say something potentially controversial that might ban me from this podcast?
What's that?
What?
I think that Mark Addy makes a better Fred Flintstone.
Really?
Well, yeah. I have to disagree.
That is an opinion that you may have. That
I'm not saying okay. he's a better actor than John Goodman. I'm not well, saying no. he's better in this movie. I think for the character of Fred Flintstone, he does a better job. Because John Goodman is great. He's terrific. But... In the Flintstones movie, John Goodman comes through, you know.
Yes.
It's,
right.
it's very, you know, similar to King Ralph.
So,
it's
so you think that Mark Addy loses himself in the role of Fred Flintstone?
I think. Well, and I watched the behind the scenes DVD extra for this, and he was talking about how he really got into the role and how he watched a lot of Jackie Gleason actually in so preparation for it.
Yeah, and Mark Addy right back to the source.
He's interesting. He's like, I think we were trying to make him like an American movie star for a little bit because he happened in that weird, I'll call like post Chris Farley, pre Kevin James fat guy. He filled because he was on this American sitcom called Still Standing, which it was your standard like, oh, fat guy has a family and he's kind of bumbling, but he played an American guy.
Mm.
And
that's weird.
Yeah, I don't think you can even see it anymore. It ran for a few seasons, but I think we were really trying
the
to
state
make
shut
him
it
like,
down. They're like, none of this still standing. It's banned.
He's in that Chris Rock movie that I think Down to Earth he's in.
Oh, yeah.
He was in like a few kind of big American movies in the TV show. I think they were really trying to make him like the next funny fat guy movie star. And
wait. Was he British or
yeah,
American?
He's British.
But I know that, but like in Jack Frost.
I think he was British.
Was he really?
Yeah,
right?
He was British.
Justin,
he was like a British
remember?
Rocker in the movie. That was like the gimmick.
Okay.
But yeah, as far as his Fred Flintstone impression goes, I personally wasn't buying it. I was like, well, I thought, I was like, you, and I grew up watching the Flintstones, believe
God.
It or not.
But
I
think, can you, if that should be like child torture, making us watch the Flintstones. Have you watched an episode recently?
No, but I used to watch it with my family.
Yeah, it was
why
syndication.
Were we watching
it was,
reruns
we
of the Flintstones?
It.
I guess so.
I watched it in French, Les Pierres à Feu.
Really?
Yep.
All I remember are the cigarette ads that he and Barney used to do.
Okay, but that's from like the 40s.
Hey, Fred. April, hey, Fred. I think you're let's have a Chesterfield.
You think that the Flintstone cigarette ads were in the 40s? Like World War II?
Okay, maybe not.
We have got news
when
for you.
When did the Flintstones originally air?
Was like, Fred was like, buy war bonds.
60s? I don't know. 70s?
Joe, yeah, you would know. When did the Flintstones start?
I think the Flintstones started in the 60s.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think... Well, you know, Joe, you're coming at it from like a character perspective. I think when April and I started watching this movie and you did the Yabba Dabba Doo or, you know, whatever, we're just looking at it from like a more superficial impression.
Sure.
Aspect, you know, or we're coming at it from that angle. So I think, you know, John Goodman may kind of superficially sound and maybe look more like Fred Flintstone, but... You know, you're probably looking at the character.
And also, the John Goodman charm does come through.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Mark Addy has charm in this movie. Mm-hmm.
I come to it from an entertainment perspective and say, I don't know about that.
Barney was absolutely terrible. Is it Stephen Baldwin?
Stephen Baldwin. He's a weird choice.
Well, okay, as far as my knowledge of this movie goes, mm-hmm. I only knew it as... Oh, isn't it? It's that funny, bad sequel to the Flintstones.
Yeah.
I had never seen it, and I only knew that Stephen Baldwin was in it, and it's like
there's
a
one
joke.
Word that should not be in that sentence, I think, April.
What's that? Funny,
but
bad sequel.
No, not actually funny, but I mean, so I'd never seen any of this at all, mm-hmm. but I think that I heard about, like, that Jane Krakowski is in it, mm-hmm. and by the way, she was really
good. She's pretty good.
She's funny, mm-hmm. and she was a good Betty.
Joe, do you have a attachment to this from seeing it as a kid?
I do. I had the VHS tape. I remember that much. But you know what the weird thing is like, as a kid, I didn't know what, like, Las Vegas was. It's like a weird marriage of these two ideas where it's like, let's make a kid's movie set in this den of vice. Like, I don't quite know what they were going for. And it's a very weird... Like, what are your thoughts on the original Flintstones movie? Because I know people have mixed feelings on it.
So I watched it recently for a podcast, and I was shockingly charmed by it, especially the fact that, like, there's so many Jim Henson puppets in it, mm-hmm. that, like, everyone is dedicated to making a Flintstones movie. And I got to say, going into this new one, I was even a little bit excited because Bryant LeVant was back, Mr. Jingle All the Way himself.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, yikes. But we'll get to that soon. What do you guys think of the Flintstones?
Did he direct the first one?
Yes.
He did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Spielberg produced both of them.
Right.
And if you read interviews about him talking about the Flintstones, like, he loves the Flintstones. He's like, this is a tough rock we got to crack. I brought in 15 writers to do drafts on the first one to make sure it was perfect.
Yeah. And you know what? I grew up with, I watched the first one when it came out. Did I see it in theaters? I have no idea, but it was definitely a rental, and I really liked it. I wasn't like my favorite movie or anything, but I always remember really liking it. And when Joe's like video came out, I was like, yeah, that movie was actually pretty good. It, like, when he showed all the clips from it, and I tried to get Colin to watch it in anticipation for this review. But we couldn't find a copy of it streaming, and then we had to push the recording, and so it just never happened. So
yeah.
Colin has still never seen the original.
I've never seen it, but I've seen so many reviews on it.
And clips,
right? That I kind of feel like I have, like I kind of know it.
You gotta see the whole thing, though.
Yeah, I mean, that was coming after Jurassic Park. That was, you know, catching like Dino Fever.
Yeah, which we've talked about many times on this podcast.
That was like 1 year after Jurassic Park. I think ILM did the effects for the first one. That was a big deal. And they look pretty good from what I remember.
And they came back for the second one, right? To make sure they were so polished.
Well,
unfortunately not.
They may have been back for the bidding process. And then,
this film cost $65 million.
Oh my God.
I mean, I think that, like, there's some artistry in this movie. Yes, the effects do not look as good as the first one. Although I really only remember the CGI Dino in the first one. Mm-hmm. And there was a puppet Dino too, but it was mostly practical, right, guys?
They had the big, like, Brontosaurus.
Was that CG?
Creatures.
I don't remember.
There was
a marriage of them.
Yeah, but they were mostly practical in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird because this one, I feel like they just reused all that stuff they had in storage. Like, it's not... William Sandell was the production designer on the first one. He doesn't return here. And I'm curious into just how much of the props and sets they were able to reuse. There is one noticeable shot that's just stock footage from the first movie. It's right before we get to that Bronto King, I think it's called. and they cut to like that downtown area from the first movie. It's so clearly like a stock footage shot that, because that's the thing, this movie, it's like, yeah, they build a lot. It just feels like the scope is scaled down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which usually happens for sequels where they, you know, the budget is lowered, that they, you know, they can't get the stars back.
It feels like a direct to video sequel. It really does.
That's exactly what it does. Yeah. And it wasn't. It was a theatrical film.
That's crazy. How much did
they
make?
Stephen Baldwin? They had no one better than that? Like, when the director going to the mat going like, you know, we don't need stars. What we need is talent.
There's
we need Baldwin up on screen.
There's no big stars in this. And when you look at the first one, like John Goodman and Rick Moranis.
Yeah.
Like,
you couldn't, I mean,
and Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, you couldn't think of like a better cast for the first one. Like, just off the
Rick Moranis is so good as Barney in that first one.
Yeah, it's very strange to see Stephen Baldwin. He just doesn't fit the.
He's just
and the
like,
hair. The hair. It's like,
yeah,
we're not going to make any choice to match this with the first movie. Let's just make him look like Shemp. That's what they go for, and it's like
yeah. Also, his character is like I'm not crazy. It's like 10 times dumber than Barney has ever been. Like in the first one, he actually is smarter than Fred, and he
it's a great gimmick.
Yeah,
but like Fred is the lead, and he's a big dum dum, but it's really Barney that's pulling all the strings in the background.
You're so right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then in this one,
Barney is the smart one in the first one, and well, here he's.
He's
much dumber than Fred.
Yeah, he's so dumb. Yeah. Well, I mean, they can't give him everything. They can't have the looks and the brains.
Stephen Baldwin has found God, and he thanks him every day for everything he's gotten for him.
Oh,
I know you guys have talked about Jingle All the Way. Is that the only Brian Levant film you've done?
Yes.
What else has he done?
I mean, I looked him up. He's done a lot, but I don't think I've seen any of them except Jingle All the Way.
I could run through.
I've seen Beethoven.
Beethoven and Snow Dogs.
Nope.
Not
the Spy
either.
Next Door.
Nope.
A Christmas Story 2.
Nope.
Yeah. It's just like it's a weird blend of direct to video stuff and like family comedies. His highest rated movie on IMDb is Jingle All the Way at 5.7.
Well, that's a Christmas classic. 5.7.
5.7 out of 6, right?
Yes.
Right?
Oh God, he started with Problem Child 2.
Oh
geez. He did Are We There Yet? The Ice Cube comedy.
Oh my God.
Something very charming about the director though is he is a huge collector of toys and stuff like that. If you look up interviews of him on YouTube, he'll always be like flanked by his giant wall of toys.
He does seem like a
great guy. He seems like he's just having fun and
genuinely loves making the movies as opposed to being like, ugh, it's for kids. Who cares?
Yeah, they have the attention span of peanuts.
Yeah, I think that came through in this movie. Like,
yeah, I think so.
I was saying that when we watched it, like it doesn't feel like this is some cash grab and they just didn't care. Like, yes, it's not what the first one was, but like there is artistry, and even if it's reused stuff, like it feels like the actors, even though they're not great, I don't think they're trying, you know. Like everyone is I think on board.
Nobody's phoning it in, and
right, especially not Alan Cumming.
It doesn't mean that it's good.
No, I'm not saying this is a genuinely good movie, but this is a lot better than most of the stuff we watch for this podcast.
Oh, for sure.
Well, I mean, depending on it, but I mean, is it better than Axe and Jackson? No, but it's better.
I'm sorry.
Axon
Jackson.
I can't say it. Action Jackson, but Action it's a hell Jackson. Of a lot better than like, you know, Pluto Nash, the new movie that we're gonna continually shit on.
I don't think anything
every week.
Would be worse than that.
Yeah.
Joe, do you have a defense for Pluto Nash?
No, I haven't seen that. That's another one I haven't seen in like 20 years, and I think it's best.
Yeah,
don't revisit it.
Leave it buried.
Yeah, leave it in the past.
Just leave your fond memories of it.
All right, do you want to jump into the plot, April? Start us off with Universal.
Well,
I love it when they mess with the logo.
April,
I was
huge
like,
laugh
yeah,
for April.
Universal, and the font is made of bones. But here's the thing that I didn't know about this movie. The Great Gazoo is in it. And
all right, I have some questions about the Great Gazoo because in the show he has powers, doesn't he?
I thought so.
Joe, like he can do like weird genie stuff.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and it was also a character that came like in the last two seasons of that show.
Okay.
It was like an entirely like we're out of ideas, we need something to mix it up. How about an alien?
Yeah.
And that's why it's so weird here, because this is your prequel, and no one mentions him in the Flintstones movie.
Yeah,
of course not.
Maybe he erases their memory at the end of the.
But in the 90s, like, kids loved the Great Gazoo. He was on a lot of merchandising stuff. I remember.
It's so weird, like, because
we had Gazoo fever.
I remember getting into an argument with an old boss of mine. I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but we were talking about the Flintstones, and I mentioned the Great Gazoo. And he had no idea who I was talking about and, like, accused me of lying and, like, making this character up.
You dumb. Like, you're making up a great alien.
I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, I'm a huge Flintstones fan and I don't remember a great kazoo or any alien. What are you talking
about? That's wild.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Like, everybody knows the great kazoo.
It's like, just Google. Was this before the internet?
No.
Yeah, we were all binging back then. He's like, just bing it. Yeah.
This is like early 2000s.
Ask Jeeves.
Also, original voice of the Great Gazoo, Harvey Korman, in this movie.
Oh, so that's why he's in this movie.
Well, yeah. Also, come on, it's Harvey Korman.
He's also the Dictabird in the first one.
Okay, I remember that. Yeah, the cool bird puppet.
Yeah, star of the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Yeah, to be honest, I only really know him from the Star Wars Holiday Special. That's
the,
me.
The Carol Burnett Show.
Okay, that's a little before
my
time.
Well, that's way before our time.
I know, but it's like, come
on. I have seen like
a
few reruns of that.
Before my time, but yeah, you can look up clips on YouTube of like the bloopers and stuff from the Carol Burnett Show. Him and Tim Conway cracking each other up is really, really funny.
But yeah, this movie starts in space in this ridiculous alien, you know, mix of, as Colin was saying, it's a practical head and like a puppet body, and there it does start with some CG, but it's just like
I don't like looking at it.
Well, yeah. No, very, it's like, I thought I was watching the Flintstones.
It's
what
practical.
Is this?
It's practical both. So the head is practical and the body is a puppet, but the hands are practical. So they're both like two scaled down elements sort of stitched together.
Well, I sent April a photo because I was watching the behind the scenes.
I'm going to send it to you guys right now.
he wears the full costume but the body is bigger.
I
think
possible.
They scaled it down.
Yeah.
They just.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Your visual effects, you know, is that what they would? They kept his body. They just altered their proportions of it.
You can tell that the hands are real. So I figured that they filmed them separately, but that makes sense. They would film them together and then shrink the body down after the fact.
In that regard, kind of impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than doing like a. You know, all CG body or something like that, because
and this is year 2000, yeah. Everybody, so CG wasn't quite there yet.
We weren't there yet, and also they didn't have the budget for it. As you can see, the wide shot of the UFO with all the gazoos flying around. First of all, it is gazoo. All my life, called him the Great Kazoo.
I've been saying kazoo, but I remember seeing it spelled, and it was spelled with a G.
Yeah.
But I think I thought it was just pronounced kazoo. And then they, of course, make that
clearly
joke.
They know that, so he's correcting everybody every time you know they say his name.
And I think all the other ones are Taylor Negron, or all the other aliens on that ship.
Oh, no shit.
Who is
that? Yeah, the late Taylor Negron. He's the Nothing But Trouble. He's like the Latin guy traveling with them.
Oh, shit. He was on Seinfeld, yes, so yeah. I know him. I didn't recognize him here, but that's great.
Also, Mickey is in this movie.
I know. Oh, my God. Danny Woodburn shows up later, but we'll get to that. So, apparently, the Great Gazoo is kind of like the loser of... is there a name of this alien species?
I don't know.
I think Gazoo is... I thought Gazoo was his name. So, he gets sent to Earth on a mission to find out how humans breed.
To study their mating rituals, I guess.
Odd choice, but...
So, okay. Do you think he watched Fred and Wilma have sex?
Absolutely.
I was
definitely.
Yeah, I was waiting.
He's taking notes.
Yeah, when he and Barney were just together at the beginning, I was like, I was joking that the kazoo would just say, "All right, now get to it."
And then he
start,
and then he's
fucking, please don't make us do it.
And then he says that.
And he has like, yeah, and then he says it like, "Well, hop to it." And they're like, "Oh my God."
Yeah, because like,
also in the show, can only Fred and Barney see him that too?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that's the case.
Okay.
I think so, yeah.
I don't.
So I was like, is that something this movie invented, or is
no? Because then everybody would be like talking to Gazoo.
Yeah, I think it's
for
just
people
that
haven't seen the show, like the original show, and you only know the Flintstones of pop culture. The show is so slow, but it was famous for playing in like prime time in the evening. Mm-hmm. That it was a animated sitcom.
It was like the Simpsons of its time.
If you watch the Gazoo episode, it's like, "Hey, Gazoo, what's going on?"
Yeah, dum dum. What is going on?
I should go back and try and watch an episode because, again, I remember laughing and loving the show.
Hey, so. Bon, what about some Chesterfield cigarettes?
Okay. They were all animated, like in that Hanna-Barbera limited animation style, and I believe they were shipping it off to Mexico at that point.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Wow. So Gazoo gets sent to Earth, and then what's
next? I'm just thinking about what's going.
Yeah,
so funny. I don't have notes in front of me.
She's
so
dying. Well, I do. Okay. We're introduced to Fred and Barney, and like my first note is like their voices are terrible.
And Joe, bring a defense to this.
Again, I'm not saying it's a good film performance. I think he's doing more of a Fred Flintstone shtick than John Goodman did.
Do any of you have a Fred Flintstone voice, Colin, Master Impressionist? Because that seems like a go-to dad thing doing Fred Flintstone.
All I do is just like, hey, Bon. And like, that's
okay,
it.
Yeah.
Bon. That's about it. I sound like Marge Simpson, yeah.
Barney.
Me being sick is helpful.
Oh, Barney, let's go have a smoke behind the house.
Okay.
Okay, Fred. Straight to the moon.
That's not bad.
I'm going to beat you, Wilma. Straight to the moon.
So, yeah, we're introducing. This is when we're kind of cluing in. I'm like, what's going on? It shows them at the rock quarry.
Yeah, I was like, why are they training?
They're taking training for the cranes.
Did it explain that this is a prequel at some point and we just missed it? Or are you just
supposed to just catch on.
Okay, yeah. I'm the dum-dum.
Well, it took us a while. Oh, dum-dums.
Yeah. It's also crazy to think about. It's only 6 years after that first movie.
Yeah,
yes. That's wild.
It just looks and feels like a different. Like I know, like you know, visual effects had made a lot of leaps and bounds in that time, mm-hmm. but it really does. Just from the get go, it feels like a different style.
Yeah, yeah. It has less of like a.
Some
home.
May say 2000s core, considering that it came out in the year 2000.
Yeah, I mean, 2000 movies come up a lot on this podcast. 2002, I think, is the year that really weird shit happened. You know, like Master of Disguise, and yeah. Was that when Son of the Mask came out too? Speaking of Alan Cumming,
probably. Yeah,
poor Alan Cumming.
Oh yeah,
playing this ridiculous.
Fire his agent.
Yeah, this ridiculous character in this, and then like Son of the Mask, where he plays.
2005 with Son of the Mask.
Oh boy!
Oh my god!
So it was 5 years later.
In this movie, two ridiculous characters.
It's true. We'll get to his second character,
do you
who
think
I
Alan
actually
Cumming
love.
Demanded that he's like, yeah. I need a Peter Sellers like number of roles.
No, I think he was like, can you just get me something that's not a floating head?
Yeah, I'm just like strapped into this rig or whatever the hell it is. Yeah. I have to confess, I like his second character.
Dude, me too. Mick Jagger? Yeah. He doesn't come until way, way later. But yeah, I was confused at this scene because I was like, oh, like, why is the dinosaur not real? Like, is this the level of practical effects in this movie? Because he's controlling a training brontosaurus.
Yeah.
And then,
wait a minute.
Yeah,
yes.
I thought that was...
April thought.
It's exactly that, Justin.
Wow. I thought that that's what the... It's supposed to be, for people who don't know, it's supposed to be crappy.
That is such a, like, mom-style reaction of, like, what are those effects? Look at those effects! You can't even do a dinosaur right!
But then, no, they cut to a real dinosaur, but it is a horrible CG monstrosity.
Yeah. Oh, they cut to the real dinosaur who's like, I'm gonna shit!
Yeah, I forgot the dinos talk.
Yeah, we don't waste any time. This thing, like, farts on everybody and blows everybody hundreds of feet.
There's something funnier about a puppet dinosaur talking than there is about a CGI dinosaur like reacting.
Especially when it's kind of the CGI. They clearly couldn't get ILM back for this. They didn't have the budget for it. But
I mean, they had the budget for it. Sorry, I made a mistake. The budget wasn't $65 million. It was $83 million.
Oh, boy.
Okay. That's a lot in 2000.
Yeah.
It's weird because, like, I was thinking of the scene in the first movie where they go bowling, and, like, every little, like, appliance is invented really cleverly there.
Yeah.
And it's, like, some kind of crab that comes down and, like, picks up the bowling pins and brings them up. Like, later in this movie, it's just a monkey.
I laughed because it's a pin monkey. Get it?
Yeah.
It's a joke, and I laughed.
It's funny, but it's just, like...
it's not nowhere near what the first movie was, though.
Like, was that their commentary on, like, the technology within this world evolves?
Yeah, it's just yes. like a real... Like,
yeah, it gets more boring.
It used to be a monkey, and then it became...
They're just enslaving other species.
I will say one of my favorite things is later on in the movie, someone uses a remote control, and then, like, the front opens up, and, like, this bird flies out and just pushes the
And
button.
It goes 2 feet, and then comes back. Yeah.
But then they do it
also,
again.
Also, someone has a camcorder at one scene, which I'm how was this working?
Yeah.
Stone quarter, thank you very much.
Carved from rock.
Yeah.
Because they show a picture being taken, and it's a little, like, pterodactyl on there that, like,
chisels.
Carves it with his beak. So it's like, what is there, like, a little animal chiseling away in the camcorder?
Yes.
Like,
very fast.
You can't question the logic.
I know.
Like, those photos, they don't look so good either. So what could that camera be spitting out? My favorite Flintstone sings is a Robot Chicken sketch, and I feel like I'll be cursed for mentioning Robot Chicken, a show that I believe still exists somehow.
It was still on as of like a year ago, so.
That's wild.
Yeah. That's insane.
But there's a sketch where Barney wants Fred's Fruity Pebbles, and then he kills him, and then all the appliances, he's like, witnesses! He has to kill them all, too.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
But you didn't laugh when you saw
no,
it.
No, I mean, well, it's just gruesome. It. Yeah, but,
just stared blankly.
Have you guys ever seen the Seth MacFarlane, like, Flintstones concept?
No.
No.
Yeah, I guess Seth MacFarlane was doing supposed to do a Flintstones reboot.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess on Fox it would have been. This was, like, right at, like, the peak of American Dad when all that stuff was really big, mm-hmm. and he was going to do a new Flintstones. So it's, like, the Flintstones characters drawn in, like, Family Guy style. It's very strange.
Oh,
you can
boy.
Find them online.
Yeah, I should look that up. That sounds bizarre.
I just searched Flintstones Fox, and they announced that they're doing a new show called Bedrock.
Oh, boy.
What, like, recently?
In March 10th, 2023. So not recently, so maybe it got turned down.
Is it going to be like a live action, like Riverdale?
No, I don't think so, because Stephen Root would play Fred Flintstone, which is a good casting.
Oh, I love Stephen Root. That's good. The Flintstones are due for a reboot. rebooting everything else.
Like I'm just saying.
I'm not saying they should.
It's got to be like a Riverdale reboot. It's very dark and like sexy.
That's why they always have to alter the title just enough to make it sound cool. So like
the Flint
Rock.
Remember they did Bel Air, the Fresh Prince.
That's what the spinoff is called. It's called Bedrock.
Oh boy,
sounds like the porn parody. You know,
I mean, I wouldn't know, but
that exists.
That'd be bed cock. They would just
oh, you're right. I don't know what I was thinking.
So now
where are we in the movie?
Well, yes. We meet Wilma,
and this is where I started putting two and two together. I'm like, oh, this is a prequel.
Well, I was confused. I was like, is this Wilma's baby shower? Is this Wilma's wedding shower to Fred? Oh, she hasn't met Fred?
Yeah, it's just a friend of hers is having a bridal shower, and we're introduced to Joan Collins, who's replaced Elizabeth Taylor?
Yeah.
Same character, right, as Wilma's mom. Was it known in the show that Wilma came from a rich family, or was that kind of just...
God, I don't know. I don't think so. I think that's something they made up for the movie.
Yeah, the whole, like, contention between Fred and Wilma's mom came from the movie.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
That wasn't really in the cartoon. The character existed, but they really leaned into that heavy honeymooners influence for some of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tale. The whole plot of this movie is a tale as old as time.
Oh, my God.
So Wilma is like rich girl who doesn't like her life. And she is played by actress from Third Rock from the Sun.
I forget her
name. We all got Third Rock fever.
Yeah, I don't know her name.
Get your 3D glasses because the special 3D episode is playing soon.
Dude, I remember that.
I know you do.
I was a big fan of Third Rock from the Sun. I thought it was hilarious. And she never really did anything else. Like,
nope.
Not big.
She's in Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yes.
Very briefly. That's how I remember her.
And I think it's a problem of she's too tall. And so she's too tall to have male co-stars. And I'm sorry that this is Hollywood. But she's really funny. She was hilarious on that show. And she's hot. So why didn't she get roles? You know, who knows? Maybe she got...
I'm looking here, and she has been on The Righteous Gemstones in 2023 for nine episodes?
Okay. So that's good. Like, again, very funny comedic actress. Mm-hmm. She should be acting all over the place or, you know...
Justin, what's her name, by the way?
Her name is Kristen Johnston.
Thank you.
Kristen Johnston. Okay, too normal of a name. That's also a problem why she's not famous. She should have changed that to Kristen Roxon or something.
Oh,
So she should have changed her name to reflect the fact she was in the Flintstones?
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
We have some cute puppets in this bridal scene. Mm-hmm. I guess it's Jim Henson's company, right? Coming back?
Probably, yeah. I don't know why they would get someone else.
They've got to be the ones that are in storage from the first movie.
Right. They just things. Like repurposed same, them. Same
There's no way they remade them for this. Because it's the only scene they're really...
$83 million.
Well, and then we have Greg from Dharma and Greg.
Yes. So I also used to watch Dharma and Greg. Can you tell? I used to watch must-see TV and TGIF in the 90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I watched Dharma and Greg quite a bit. I can't remember this actor's name, but now he's been on like a billion episodes of Criminal Minds. That's what
he's the lead of Criminal Minds.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, well,
he's good.
I mean, I know him from Free Enterprise, the movie about two nerds that I guess get involved with William Shatner in some way.
Oh God.
Yep.
Sounds like a nightmare, like real life. Well, he arrives on a CGI kangaroo creature in this scene.
Yeah.
This is so like extravagant. It's just so unneeded.
Yes.
It feels so, and I was watching the special features and, obviously it's all blue screen stuff, but he looks so out of place in this shot.
It is one of those like CGI shots where you kind of like audibly go, ugh.
It doesn't match the background.
It looks so terrible. The scale looks wrong. It's very weird. Sorry, CGI artists. I feel like a
whoever
traitor.
You are. No, hey, we can criticize bad CG, and this movie does have a lot of it.
It does, in spades.
My
note was Gregorized on CGI kangaroo, and then my note after that, a prequel.
So we just now.
It took like 15 minutes to figure this out.
Well, he looks exactly like Kyle MacLachlan's character in the first movie.
Yeah, that's a big problem with the movie, is it looks like you got the budget version. Like, oh, we got the Flintstones at home. That, like,
Like he's dressed the same haircut, kind of the same character, not the same character.
His name is Chip, and I think in the first movie it's Cliff or something like that. It's very similar.
Yeah, it is a different character, but it's almost like, well, why can't this just be the same character?
Yeah, they look and act similarly, and then also because they've replaced Elizabeth Taylor with Joan Collins, you're like, okay, well,
it's just recast.
They could have just
swapped
them out.
Yeah.
It is, by the way, Kyle MacLachlan is Cliff in the first movie.
Okay.
So, and this is Chip.
Yes.
So it's like, it is confusing.
Well, both rock formations, I guess. Cliff, a Chip is from rock.
I
gotta
get it.
They gotta get in there somewhere.
I get it.
Speaking of rock, Wilma runs away because she doesn't want to get married. She runs to a diner. Who do we get? Brian Setzer singing Rock This Town.
No,
Colin's favorite band.
Yeah, Rock This Town. And April's like, I don't get it. Where's the pun in the lyrics? And I'm like, it's called Rock This Town.
I thought they'd go one step further and do like
Rock This Rock?
Rock This Rock.
We'll do like a parody version, like later Anne Margaret, I think, sings some kind of Viva Rock
Poor
Vegas.
Anne Margaret. Yeah, Viva Rock Vegas.
Yeah, kids love Anne Margaret.
They
and
do,
also,
and they know who she
also
is.
Also the Elvis song, Viva Las Vegas. So.
So we got Colin's favorite band, and weren't they in? Didn't they do a song in Jingle All the Way too?
Oh, Brian Setzer did.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe the director is a huge fan.
What the song was?
Oh God, who knows?
Yeah,
some stupid
singing
Christmas
about
song.
Santa's sleigh.
Sure, why not? With a guitar solo.
And Colin was like, oh, I hope Brian Seltzer is going to be a main character in this movie. We can just have rocking tunes the entire time.
Brian Seltzer.
Brian sets rock.
Yeah. So we're at like a diner, not unlike the one in the opening.
Bronto King.
Yeah. The opening sequence of the original show.
McDonald's wanted nothing to do with this one. They were like, you know what?
Were they in the first one?
No Rock Donald's here.
Yeah, they were in the first one.
Yeah, Rock Donald's.
Oh, God.
Right. Rock Donald's?
Yeah, huge, huge marketing push. Like there is, they built a McDonald's replica on the set.
Yeah.
And it was all over that movie. Here it's kind of jarring because you associate the way this world looks with a Rock Donald. So to see like a Burger King thing, it's like,
oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's strange.
And when the first movie came out,
what do you think was going on behind the scenes of this movie? Like, why is it this way? Like, no one came back.
Well, I noticed that Spielberg, Amblin is credited. He is not.
I thought I saw Spielberg's name in some kind of credit, but I don't know if it was in the movie or just like, on iTunes when you scroll down or something.
Rosie O'Donnell does a voice in the movie, I believe.
Yeah, so she came back to voice an octopus puppet.
Yeah.
But because she can't play the younger version of herself. That'd
it's
weird.
Probably like I was watching your video, Joe, and it was clearly John Goodman wanted nothing to do with the first movie.
Yeah, he didn't even want to be in it.
He hated people telling him, you got to play Fred Flintstone. He's like, I don't want to play Fred Flintstone.
And I feel like...
Yeah, he did not want to be there.
Yeah, and he's not going to come back for the sequel, and I feel like that was the reason probably everyone used to get out of doing the sequel.
Well, maybe that's why they did a prequel. They're like, okay,
They grew into John Goodman and Rick Moran and Stephen Baldwin, like, shrinking.
Shrunk like a foot and a half. And
Wilma, you know, got a lot shorter and was played by Elizabeth Perkins.
Terrible rock accident, like the one that happens to
the guy in the
Fred
movie.
Fred Boss in the beginning where he gets crushed.
Yeah, we should mention how there's some fantastical elements in this because it's a cartoon, but it doesn't really go far enough. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted it to be, it's kind of like halfway. It's like there's cartoon sound effects, but there's not enough, and there's weird like things where you'll just see Fred be like a foot tall and like running around in like a fantasy sequence where he's tiny.
They embarrass him at a party, and then he kind of shrinks because he feels
small. And then later in the casino he does that too, but
on the craps table he's running around.
Oh, is he really?
Yes.
I think I missed
and
that.
Then at one point his eyes like pop out of his head and like it's like a slot machine.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, if we're doing a live action cartoon here, I mean, I feel like let's go for it a little more.
Yeah, Son of the Mask style.
They do a lot Fred walking on his tippy toes and going like...
Yeah, well, that's a classic. I mean, let's break down what the Flintstones has, right? It's a Honeymooners parody. There's rocks. And animals that do things and go, it's a living. That's it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh boy.
It's a beloved franchise.
People
so.
Love it.
Yeah, it's true.
If that's the criteria, then this movie does a great job.
Yeah.
Four stars.
Ticking all three of those boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for Flintstones fans, they should come away from it thinking this is a great movie. It delivers on everything the Flintstones has.
Yeah. So Betty takes in Wilma because she thinks she's down and out. She's
claiming poverty. Exactly.
So they move into, what is it, Mel Rock Place?
Oh, boy.
Which is funny to us because we're currently watching the original Melrose Place.
Yeah.
It's just no relationship in this movie is like earned. It's just
It's just like these people are friends now.
It happens way too fast.
And don't even get me started on when they fall in love with the boys. There's absolutely no reason for them to like these two losers.
No.
So how does that happen? Do we get the kazoo stuff?
Yeah, we get the kazoo, like, introduces
kazoo.
Himself.
Kazoo!
It's just like in Green Lantern. Yeah. Like, he crash lands.
He crash lands in front of the boys, and he's like, oh, I'm here to introduce, or to, you know, witness your mating
Do you
mating
have
rituals.
Powers of any kind? No, I'll be doing nothing in this movie. I'll just be floating around. Because you would think that would be, like, a cartoon element, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like make him
does Gazoo have powers?
Yeah, but you know, with powers comes great cost, and I mean expense, and they don't have the money.
Well, at one point, I think he like pushes someone.
Well, there you go.
That's
about it. Yeah, so he's like, oh, I'm here to observe your mating rituals. And then, like, at one scene, like, Barney and Fred are in a bunk bed, and Barney falls on top of Fred.
It's a big gay panic scene.
Yeah, it's like...
It was the year 2000.
No homo. And then they go to the diner. It's like, oh, we gotta go out for the... Get some girls or something to show kazoo.
Is that the only reason they go out to show kazoo?
It seems like that's the only reason they go to the diner to pick up girls.
Yeah.
And Fred doesn't even ask them out. He just mumbles. And it's like, it's such a weird way to connect these characters.
Yeah, it all just comes together.
Fred doesn't seem like he has any real drive as a character. Like, I guess he wants to be a quarryman or whatever, but like he doesn't have any real wants or needs, and it takes him a really, really long time to even be like, oh, I like Wilma. Like, he doesn't give a fuck about her.
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of forced to go and like,
yeah,
you know,
at least Barney and Wilma seem to have a bit of chemistry. They're vibing off each other. So how do they meet? Do they meet at the diner?
Because
they're both working there, and there's some shenanigans.
Fred just like falls in love with Betty instantly, and she says, oh, you want to go on a date? Like, I'll bring my friends.
Yeah, Fred actually likes Betty at first.
Yeah.
switcheroo.
Big twist. I guess.
And then so they go out on a date.
Yeah, but there's no tension there. Like, no. Think it's going to be like, oh, they like each other, and they switch instantly on their date, and they're fine from then on out.
Yeah, that's it. There's no, like, conflict or anything like that.
I will say, an issue I have with the first one is that Barney and Fred are at odds for the entire movie, and I didn't like that in the first Flintstones.
They're not friends, and there's kind of this simmering resentment from Barney towards Fred.
Yes,
It does. It's conflict, though. I mean, like, the first one is just so much better written than this. Mm-hmm. In kind of every way.
The first one has an amazing cartoon gag where at the end, Fred Flintstone's like, I gotta think of something! And a thought bubble appears above his head, and it's a dinosaur eating Elizabeth Taylor, which is completely unrelated to what's happening. It's a very Simpsons-like joke.
This movie also, like, negates the purpose of that movie, because in this movie, like, basically it's about, like, oh, Wilma doesn't need wealth and, you know, power. And in the first movie, it's all about them
getting money.
Getting obsessed
That's
with money
right.
and becoming that destroys their whole life because they get Fred lets all the job get to his head and they start buying all the nice cars and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm like, did anyone see the first movie?
That you mean that made this movie?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the guy like directed the friggin' first movie.
Same director,
Same writer, no.
Well, maybe, you know, in the time that's happened since this movie and the first movie, they've forgotten.
They got brain rot?
Yeah. Well, they just forgot, you know? They got
too high on their own supply.
They got too used to, like, living, you know, middle...
Like,
middle
I feel
income.
Like this movie, if it had just been called The Flintstones, it could have been, like, a soft reboot in 2000. Because there really is... There's no ties to that.
How about The Young Flintstones?
It could be how about Flintstones? It could be
so
like
if they don't get to Viva Rock Vegas till halfway into the movie.
That pissed me off
for them to get to Viva
Rock
Vegas.
The whole movie, I was like, when are they going to Las Vegas?
Rock Vegas.
Rock Vegas.
April.
Now I like.
It's not even a good pun.
No, it's terrible. Not.
I mean, I like the place Las Vegas. I've been there twice. Against what you were saying, Joe, I did like movies about Vegas when I was a kid. Vegas Vacation was like one of my favorite movies, and I still love it. Still love it. It's good. I say it's good.
Even National Lampoon did not want their name.
I
on
know
that
it's
one.
True, but I mean, I think that movie's hilarious, and I'm not backing down. But yeah, so.
You like Casino? That was a big one.
I
probably,
do
right?
love Casino. Yes.
Yeah. As a child, did she watched it?
That
all
was
the
your
time.
favorite
Casino film.
Daddy, put on Casino. We get a really terrible Jurassic Park ride joke here. It's like, oh, who'd want to go see dinosaurs? Oh God! And then we get
They go to the fair.
Well, yeah,
and there's lots of rock stuff.
Some flirting. Fred and Wilma flirt and fall in love.
They
bowling,
bond over bowling, and it's really convoluted.
That's such
stupid.
A weird scene. Yeah, it gets in like slow motion, and classical music comes on.
Yeah, and it's like. Why does she like... She just likes bowling, even though she's never bowled in her life.
But you're never going to play when we're married.
It's true. It's not like it's something they do together. It's like they bond over that, but he...
Never again.
...doesn't care and you know...
Yeah. And then they get to ride a paper... it's like a Ferris wheel made of paper mache.
Yes.
It's, I guess, big bones.
And it looks great.
And then Dino... I think he wins like a...
He wins a Dino egg.
He wins an egg earlier on in the fair. And then, Dino was born, so we have like little puppy Dino who's kind of cute as a puppet.
Dude, puppet baby Dino is adorable.
Yeah, not so much when he turns to CGI.
No.
No.
But it's not the worst CGI in the movie, the Dino. Right, guys?
I don't know. The animation's not right.
But yeah, I always loved Dino growing up.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't know why. I like Dino.
Justin, you're like...
And I grew up at the same time that April did.
Justin is like furiously writing notes down, like, you know, a psychiatrist. Like, you did you?
I love baby dinosaurs.
Now, April, as a Torontonian, she had a lot of Flintstone if she ever went to Wonderland because they had a lot of walk around characters and stuff like that.
Yeah, there was Flintstone stuff there. And also, when we were talking about the McDonald's thing, there was a huge like tie-in, right? Like when the first movie came out, I remember like McDonald's, like Flintstones,
Happy Meals and stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff like that.
But you know, now what we get something that would remind you of the Flintstones, a New Radicals montage.
I could not believe that they played the New Radicals. And it's not even a rock pun. What are we doing?
I don't know. I guess it was 2000, right?
Yes, so. The song was hot, so they put it in the movie. Sure. But it felt so out of place.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Is it storing like the montage of them?
Yeah, yeah. I think they're like falling water skiing or something. That like that's what's in my brain. Do they water
also,
ski?
Also, the men's bathing suits in this world, I don't understand.
Well, all the men are wearing dresses.
They're all like their bathing. The men's bathing suits are like dresses.
Yes.
The women have bikinis,
of course, because
but
gotta,
like
the,
I don't. It's
for
such
daddy.
A weird. Yeah.
Well, why are like half the people Neanderthals?
Neanderthals. Okay, yeah. So all like the like service workers are cavemen and women, and our actors are, you know, regular people.
Yeah, it's
what's very, up with that?
I don't know. Was that something in the first movie?
I
remember in the first movie, the team they're playing in bowling mm-hmm. is made up of all, or there might be just like there is a couple of them, but in this movie, it's like a very weird. They look like the Geico.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they have the
they
big
do.
Forehead.
But is that supposed to be like another race? Or
I think they're supposed to be Neanderthal. I can't say the word.
Neanderthals.
Yeah, but like...
There you go.
So did Neanderthals and regular humans coexist?
I guess. Like they co-evolved
they,
or something?
They split, yeah. Yeah. They share a common ancestor.
So it's all the dummies, like, I don't know, do menials?
Second class citizens.
And we also have dinosaurs and humans. So needless to say, this movie's not historically accurate.
I wouldn't think so.
They're back, by the way. The Geico cavemen are.
Are they really?
Is it new commercials?
Yeah, I don't know if you've gotten those ads in Canada yet, but they're back here in the States.
No,
we don't really watch.
It's like
commercials.
They had that sitcom, and that kind of retired them.
Yeah,
and enough time has passed. Now they're like, oh, let's bring them back.
Did you do a video on that sitcom?
I did.
Okay, I was like, was that you? Because I definitely
that was such a horrible disaster that show because they essentially shot like a pilot that took place in the Deep South where. People complained that the cavemen were like an allegory for modern race relations.
Oh my
and
God.
It just
it
yeah,
went through
it
several iterations, right?
Yeah.
How many episodes did they do?
Oh. It's like less than 10, I feel like.
Yeah, like total.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I can't believe they're back.
Why can't the lizard get a commercial? Or a sitcom. A little Geico lizard.
The Geico lizard? Yeah. Too much CG.
Yeah, I guess.
Although they did do Father of the Pride. Oh, speaking of Vegas, guys, I watched that. Speaking of John Goodman.
That was John Goodman, yeah.
Why did I watch it? I don't know. I thought it was funny at the time.
Were Siegfried and Roy characters on that,
yes,
too?
Yes,
yes.
Because they're tigers.
And that's kind of a big reason, I think, why it got canceled.
But that show famously came out after one of them was attacked by his tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Roy.
So that was a show that was like plagued.
Like it came out like
controversy.
It feels like a week or two after he was mauled.
Yeah. Yeah. But for whatever reason, I liked it.
Well, there you go.
I think it was in like grade 4 or 5 at the time.
Oh, I thought you had watched it like a couple weeks ago or something like
No, I mean when it aired. When it aired.
Yeah, when she was like in between watches of Casino when she was a child. She watched Father of the Pride. So now we go to Wilma's house. She invites everybody over for some big dinner.
Fancy party.
They realize she's stinking rich.
Yeah, and Betty is, you know, rightly upset because she's like, you deceived me and you pretended like you were poor and I took you in and I'm probably paying your rent. But they get over that pretty much immediately. Like, yeah.
This feels like which should have been the main conflict of the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that like, should have been the main conflict.
This really does feel like two movies jammed into one.
Yes.
Like this Vegas stuff and then like, oh, a prequel about how they met and Wilma lied about who she was, but they all overcome that and get along. Like it's just, I don't know. It's such a strange marriage of these two movies, it feels like.
Yeah, but these two movies where it's like the story has been done a million times.
Yeah, it's like, very cliche, but it's like,
so
it
like
kind of keeps jumping from one cliched plot contrivance to another that you've seen like a million times.
You know exactly
times.
Where
like,
it's
oh,
going.
Her parents are rich and they don't like Fred because he's low class.
Yeah,
like it's like King,
oh,
of,
God.
King of Queens or you were saying like
anything.
It's like Family Guy.
Yeah, Family Guy is like the exact same thing.
All the classics. King of Queens.
Family Guy.
Family Guy.
Two shows I hate.
We do get a funny cameo by John Cho here as like a valet.
John Cho.
Oh, he looks very angry.
He looks exactly the same. I was expecting him to be much, much younger. But
like I said, it's the same year he was in American Pie.
Well, I guess he hasn't aged.
Kristen Stewart, by the way, is in the carnival scene as Ring Toss Girl.
We saw her name in the credits, but I didn't see. I forgot to look for her. So a very
young.
Yeah,
in the carnival when they're throwing. Again, this is a weird scene. The goal for them to toss at the ring thing is just the Neanderthal guys. So
yeah.
They're being used as props.
Again, God. Like, that's, like, awful.
Like, you could just replace them with, like, a tree stump or something.
Yeah. that's not nice.
We're introduced to Harmy Corman, who's...
Harmy Corman?
Harvey.
I was like, Harmony Corrine?
Ooh. Harvey. By the way, I can't be sure that Harvey Corman is acting or he's just that confused.
No.
Yeah, he doesn't know where he is. He's an older man. For a second, I was like, is that Rip Torn? He's really doing a different role.
Yeah.
No, he thought he was in a liquor store.
Yeah.
He thought he was in a liquor store, but he was on the set of Flintstones.
He was breaking into a bank and thought he was at his house.
I could be wrong, but I remember hearing Bryant LaVant talking about this part was originally Seymour Cassell.
Wow.
And they actually got him on set and it wasn't working out.
Really?
And they recasted it during production. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. And so then they were probably like, well, Harvey Korman, you know, was in the first one. Maybe you can pull a favor, kind of, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he was really big. He liked using, like, even in the first movie, Jonathan Winters has a small part. Like, he liked a lot of these older comedy character actors, and he puts them in a lot of movies and stuff, so that's always nice to see. But I think Harvey Korman works. It's a fun little performance from him.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a funny character who I guess has Alzheimer's and he doesn't really know where he is and he's confused.
He should be in a home.
He's kind of like
please don't make him do
this. He thinks he's a soldier or he is a soldier.
Or maybe he was. Just like it's one of those characters. Like.
It's kind of funny though, like his playing off of Joan Collins, and also Joan Collins is great in this. She is just hamming it up and really it's a big performance. In a movie of medium to big performances, but you need a big performance in this movie.
Yeah, I think she's pretty good. I mean, I didn't see the original, so I don't know.
I remember Elizabeth Taylor being good in the first one.
Was she in much of the first movie?
No.
I think she was. She was like a main character.
Yeah, she gets like three scenes, I feel like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think, Joan Collins is pretty good. So it's like, as prequels do, Wilma gets her pearls, her famous pearls from the dad, I think.
Yeah. What else could we... So we found out where Dino comes from, where the pearls come from. I guess the cigarettes would be the next one.
Just a Fields Bond.
Ah, let them go down real smooth.
Well, I mean, let me just say, there's a lot of things that I actually liked about this movie, but I have to pick my favorite thing, and it's...
I know, it's so difficult to pick your favorite thing.
I'm not joking. There were actually multiple things I liked. I already said I liked Dino, but I'm going to go with the giant... martini glasses.
Oh my God.
Colin is drinking a martini right now. And if we had martini glasses that big.
I mean, have you guys ever been to Vegas and gotten like those gigantic glasses of alcohol you can get and just walk around a casino?
The biggest we got were those big slushies and they were on like.
I thought I was going to die. I had one of those.
Yeah.
On Fremont Street, right? And we're like, well, you got to get the regular size. The regular size is like the size of like two pint glasses combined.
It's gigantic.
Your hand.
But those are like mixed drinks, aren't they?
Yes.
It's like margaritas and stuff. A martini would just be pure
alcohol.
Vodka, basically.
But then you can order these things and then get extra booze put into them, so they dump like a whole bunch of shots into them.
Yeah, they're like, you want the extra shot? And we all got fucked up.
I think we had like five sips and then we just threw it in the
garbage. Oh yeah, I couldn't finish mine. Because I love slushies. They're kind of like my thing, but it's like it's so much sugar and then alcohol.
Much.
But yeah, the giant martini glasses in this are comical and I love them. They're like, they're bigger than your head. Like, remember when we did Bee Gees movie, the Beatles Bee Gees movie, Sergeant Pepper's?
Yeah.
There was like a funny joke in that where the glasses keep getting bigger. It's like that big.
Okay.
Like, it's like you have to hold it into it. And then when they go to Vegas later, they have them again, which makes sense because of what you guys were saying about Vegas. So why are they in this scene too? That's bad. It should have just been
in Vegas.
Do you think
it was like a prop mistake? Like
yes.
In Spinal Tap, they came the wrong size and they're like, oh shit, we just got to use them.
This is the Flintstones joke, right? The thing they're big?
Yeah.
Right? Oh God, we're really cutting it close budget-wise on this $83 million picture, so we're just going to have to roll with it. Let's roll!
So we are finally in this movie getting to Las Vegas, going through.
Well, it's said that Greg owns a casino?
Yeah, he really wants to get it on with Wilma, and like, you know, Fred kind of steals her away. So he invites them all down to his casino in Vegas.
The Tar Dust.
And I,
I did not catch that.
I knew exactly where the plot was going. I'm like, he's going to get Fred into debt. And the only way he's going to get out is to like give up Wilma, blah, blah, blah.
No, he's got the, he just had to reverse the switch, the big comical win lose switch. That's how casinos work.
Yeah.
No. Pull a giant switch. Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
Somehow.
Like the audacity of it that he can control. But I mean, obviously, Greg doesn't really like Wilma. He just wants her money because.
Right. That's right. Because there's some bookies that are after him.
Yeah.
Right.
He has to be titular evil character.
Right. Bookies played by
these bookies are like Looney Tunes characters.
They are.
They're like,
yeah, there's the tall guy and the short guy,
Danny Woodburn, and
some guy who looks like a
his
wrestler.
Henchman, I guess.
They have funny names. I don't know what they are. It's like Big Man and Little Man or something.
I don't know, but yeah, this is where we get
Danny Woodburn is Little Rocco, and the other one is Big Rocco.
I was right, Little Rocco.
Yeah, those are funny names.
Great to see Danny Woodburn like in anything, and he's another actor who's just like always good. He can't be bad.
Yeah.
He's just
Philadelphia's own.
Oh really?
Yeah, he's from Philadelphia.
He was in Jingle All the Way.
Oh yeah,
yes,
that's right.
When they go to the house full of, he's like, no refund.
He's one of the elves, and I mean, I lost my shit when I saw him in Watchmen, which I watched not too long ago for the first time, and I was just like, man, he's so good, and like, yeah, he should, you know, he should be in as many roles as Peter Dinklage is these days. But like, I don't know,
agreed.
He's one of my favorite like Seinfeld guest stars, I would say for sure.
So now we're in Vegas. We forgot to mention that Fred wants to propose to Wilma, so he bought a ring. And then when he realizes that she's from a rich family, he's like, "Oh, this ring ain't gonna be good enough."
Who is it that tells him like you can't give her that ring? It's
probably Barney.
Was it Barney?
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. So he's like, "Okay, we'll go to Vegas and gamble, and I'll win lots of money, and then I can buy her a huge big ring."
Even though you know Wilma's made it clear that she doesn't care about money, but yeah.
And Barney has no plot in this movie other than like. He spills something on a woman, and then Betty sees him just cleaning her up, and she's like, "Oh God,
it's a
mystery." Yeah,
instead of talking about it, she just instantly assumes, you know, the worst.
Yeah,
and
it's just
I
also love that he's sitting out there on this like patio, and the largest pie you've ever seen in the movie,
yes,
comes walking through the frame, and it's like, well, this can't end well.
You know where it's going. But I do like that he's like, so Barney's thing is also he eats a lot of food. I mean, that a thing? I don't know. But he like is actually
I mean, he needs to fill that Cocoa Pebbles hole in his heart that he can never have. Why doesn't Fred give Barney Cocoa Pebbles?
I don't know.
It's
what,
like,
in the commercials?
Yeah, because that's the basis, isn't it? Or is it Fred wants? Who wants
sure
the Cocoa Pebbles?
Yeah, I think Fred wants them and Barney doesn't give them to him.
Because
it's always Barney, my Pebbles.
Okay. Yeah, Barney's a friggin' freeloader
pebbles.
On Fred.
Also, in this universe, are they legitimately like rocks that they're eating?
It's rock cereal. It's rock candy. They do have rock candy in this somewhere. I forget where.
Oh God! I'm sorry. I'm looking at a hideous CGI animated Fred Flintstones from a new Cocoa Pebbles ad.
Oh God!
Why?
There was
kids
like
still eat that. That's like pure sugar.
Wasn't there a newer like Flintstones like cartoon?
Oh Jesus! I'm just looking at this thing.
No, I don't think so.
Ew, why is this?
Yeah, the
like...
image I sent looks like he's just eating a turd.
Joe, I'm gonna send you. I'm gonna send you this because you have to be part of the image
gotcha.
Ring that's going that goes around on our podcast.
Why
now.
Is his tongue? His tongue looks hairy.
Ew. Okay, I'm sending it right now through Twitter.
Oh, I'm just seeing Kirsten.
Did you guys ever eat Cocoa Pebbles?
No.
I always wanted to, but my mom had like a no sugar cereal thing. But then I could eat Honey Nut cereal and Captain Crunch, which probably had as much sugar as Cocoa Pebbles.
Yeah, I mean, we had the cereal conversation before. We weren't really allowed to get like sugary cereal unless like we were camping and it was a treat. But I would just put sugar in like my Cheerios or Oat Bran or Raisin Bran.
Ugh.
Okay, Joe, are you seeing this picture?
This is stunning.
Hideous. And
oh
I checked
God.
The ad. That is... Actually,
what is on his tongue? He looks like he has a disease.
It says gluten. It says gluten free on the Cocoa Pebbles box.
Oh God.
All right.
You know what I'm really thankful for? That we never got a live action Jetsons movie starring Tim Allen. Because I feel like that was on the cusp of happening. Yeah,
that totally could have happened. I can envision it right now.
I feel like it's been threatened like every few years. It sort of comes up. Oh, a Jetsons movie.
I also watched that as a kid. I always preferred the Flintstones, though. I don't know. Jetsons always felt a little more lame.
Because George Jetson is a bad man.
Why? What did he do?
I don't know. He's just always screaming at his wife and stuff like that. And you know the story of the Jetsons, right? That they destroyed the Earth, which is why they're all living in the sky as the poor people live below.
Is that the truth?
Yeah.
Or is that just like
a truther?
Canonical?
Is that the internet theory, or is that just is that actually what it was?
And they have I think you're confusing it with the Jeffersons because they're moving on.
The Jetfersons.
So wait, we're at the casino. Where are we now?
Well, Fred gets obsessed by gambling, you know, money, and he's like winning
he's
and winning.
He's winning and winning. I mean, who wouldn't?
Greg is letting him like win all this cash, and you know, he's coming for a fall pretty soon. So like, Barney gets led off to like this thing. Betty sees him like fondling this woman after he.
It is kind of a funny gag where he's trying to clean up the, you know, the banana cream pie on her boobs, and she sees it.
I guess
from far away.
Yeah.
Well, the look on Stephen Baldwin's face as he's like wiping it off of her, it is ridiculous.
It's whatever, and she you know starts crying and runs off and bumps into Mick Jagged.
Who we did not recognize it for. At first, I was like, is that Steve Coogan? And
I thought the same thing for a couple seconds at the beginning.
And then I was like, no, I think it's Alan Cumming with like a fake nose and maybe a fake chin. And Colin didn't believe me. We had to look it up.
Yeah, we looked it up. But he kind of does this smirk. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I can't not see Alan Cumming. But I don't know. It's a pretty funny performance. I kind of like it.
I was going
to
say.
It's just the fact that the Rolling Stones, this had to be the genesis of this screenplay.
Yeah. How do we get the Rolling Stones? So they just play
the in the Flintstones
the Stones.
World. Yeah.
But I like it when British people like exaggerate their own British accent, because who can make fun of the British better than British people? It's 100% true. And he's doing this ridiculous, like, it's not even a Mick Jagger at a certain point.
It's not really. it's pretty funny.
But he has like the mannerisms that Mick Jagger does, especially when they get in a fight later.
Yeah, and he's always like looking in the mirror at himself and stuff. I don't know. It's like pretty fun.
He's strutting around.
Yeah,
you know?
He kind of like, you know, grabs Betty and takes her along and blah, blah, blah. So it's like this big jealousy thing between him and Barney.
It's so tired. It's so
I know.
Like,
and it's not, kind of like, it's like in the background. It's like the movie doesn't even have time for this little plot. It's like, this is happening, but we're more focused on the Wilma and Fred stuff.
Every part of this story is just tired and like been there, done that, like so many
also
times.
I forgot to mention that when they check into their like hotel room, there is what looks like a water slide in it, but
yes,
it's not sloped or anything.
No,
it's just like a toilet bowl in the center of the room. And like Barney runs and dies. It's like, what is this?
I think in the center it was supposed to be a hot tub.
I guess, but it's like,
it takes up like a half the room.
Yeah, it's like a big spiral. And he seems to get down it somehow, but he looks like he's just being pulled on wires for some reason. Right?
Yeah.
There's no way he should be able to.
Haven't you ever had one of those big toilet slides in your Las Vegas hotel room?
Well, I've never been to like one of those big fancy rooms, so maybe that's just what they have.
Maybe that's what they have. And Viva Rock Vegas, they do.
Hey, stayed at the MGM Grand in the William Friedkin's Jade room. Thank you very much.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Is that what they actually
called
it? The
MGM Grand, every hotel room was themed to something.
Oh my
to
God,
a movie.
That is amazing.
So they would have props from the movie Jade.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Although we watched Jade recently. Not a very good movie, but
I didn't get to pick. I didn't say like show me the Jade Room. It's you get it randomly.
That's
hilarious.
Think that's so cool.
So was it just like, did it have like William Friedkin in like a glass case and like?
I think it had like a knife.
He tells
like
you stories.
Oh my God, Colin! Next time we got to go to stay in the
William
MGM Grand.
Friedkin,
we have to stay in
yourself.
The MGM Grand. Like
I think Roadhouse is an MGM movie. Was there
a Roadhouse
room?
There is definitely an MGM Roadhouse room.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
It's not themed like it. It's not like, ooh, look, it's like the set of Roadhouse. It's just like there's a glass thing in the middle of the room, and there's just like a prop from the movie.
And it's just like Ben Gazzara shows up and blows your room up.
Oh, no.
And then runs you over with the
That's
monster
still
truck.
Cool. I don't know.
I would like the Roadhouse room, please. No problem. Here's the pants that Jake Gyllenhaal wrote. No!
here's your host, Connor McGregor.
Shirts, yeah.
No.
He's in the room with you. We can't get him to leave.
How you doing? When are you getting some food? I'm hungry.
Tune in next week to hear us talk about Roadhouse on the Patreon. But back to Viva Rock Vegas. So,
you've been listening to us talk about Viva Rock Vegas.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of like the, what's his name? Cliff, Greg. He has this whole plot going on where he's like, I have to get money to these creditors, these gangsters. So how am I going to get it? He can't get it out of Fred because Fred doesn't have any money. So he's like, I'm going to marry Wilma and I'll convince them that I'm going to marry Rich.
Yeah. So he frames Fred for stealing Wilma's.
It's the same plot as the first movie, just done like way lazy. It's
very similar.
It's real, it's like Fred being set up as the fall guy by a villain who the money's involved.
Mm-hmm. God, I wish it was Kyle MacLachlan though.
Oh, I know, and I mean, I like Greg, but like he's kind of like even the voice, he's like doing that same character. And then this time, we don't have Halle Berry secretary. You know, we have.
Am I the only one when I see Alan Cumming show up in a movie? I go, oh, it's not Paul Rubens. Which is a joke in a recent movie, which was Paul Rubens' last role. It's a Sandra Oh movie where a character loves Alan Cumming's.
Yeah.
And she's like, there he is. And it's Paul Rubens. He's like, I'll pretend to be Alan Cumming's. It happens all the time.
Do they really look that similar?
It's a joke in a movie. Quiz Lady. That's a movie that the joke is in.
I think he looks more like Steve Coogan, personally.
I do too. Yeah,
and I also love Steve Coogan. And I love Paul Rubens too. They're all, and Alan Cumming. They're all great. But as I was saying before, Alan Cumming did a lot of bad movies. And like, he should fire his agent.
Hey, he's on that new TV show, The Traitors.
That's, he's hosting that. Yeah, fuck.
It's on Prime. Get some
I
of
haven't
that,
seen that.
Get
but,
some of that hosting money.
It looks bad.
Fred and Barney just hijinks. They dress up as showgirls. Fred sings a song, which is fucking horrible.
Do you guys want to talk about Dinosaur Guy?
What?
The guy who was in the mask, who gets up and is like, I have something to confess. I poisoned all the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kind of funny, right?
It is kind of funny.
It's a pretty funny
and
scene.
I love that. I kind of like that they do a callback to it in the very end scene.
I think it was Greg who gets up because he kind of frames Fred for stealing the pearl necklace. And he's like, does anyone have anything to confess? And people start confessing wildly inappropriate things. And he says, like, I poisoned the dinosaurs' water supply. They're going to be dead in a year. Doesn't anyone care? And everyone goes, no. I mean, I laughed. Come on, let's give this movie credit where it deserves.
I can't laugh. That's making jokes out of a terrible thing, a genocide.
Wait, doesn't the same thing happen in Titanic? Isn't like Jack framed for stealing Rose's?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my god,
diamond or something.
Oh my god, the heart of the ocean, whatever.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, and it happens exactly the same way. They slip it in his pocket. I was thinking of Trading Places where they do that, but they do it in Titanic.
Oh, Trading Places,
the exact
has a
same thing
happens
in Titanic.
Yeah. Yeah, good call.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well.
So they ripped off James Cameron too for this
god
movie.
God damn it, this movie.
It doesn't have an original bone in its body.
An original bone? My only note is just this song sucks.
Oh, the song he sings?
So bad.
Yeah.
How badly do you think they tried to get like Hard Rock Casino involved?
Oh, it was so bad.
Oh, I would have loved that.
Yeah, that would have made
sense. The first Flintstones movie cost $46 million?
What? How?
It was 6 years earlier. Money, inflation.
Well, I'm thinking that's probably like, what, 94? I think Jurassic Park only cost like $60 million or something.
And they didn't have Stephen Baldwin. He does demand
a
large salary.
Man who has done nothing wrong.
Well, they probably, I mean, it's 94, so they probably didn't have a lot of CG at that point. It's just like, you know.
Oh, you know why this movie looks cheap? Wasn't shot by Mr. Dean Cundey.
Oh. Oh,
Dean
Cundey.
Right. Also, has Stephen Baldwin ever been in anything good? Has he ever been good? Help me.
Yes, he's in something good.
Biodome.
No,
that movie's great. That movie rules. Let me see.
I don't know if I've ever even seen him in anything.
Yeah, that's right. He's in The Usual Suspects.
Oh yeah.
All right. Okay.
He's also in Casualties of War. Also in Half Baked, a film where every cast member now leads a cursed existence.
I don't remember him being in Half Baked.
Dave Chappelle,
was
Jim Brewer,
one of the four guys?
No, I don't think so.
Isn't he in your holiday movie, Fred Claus?
Yes, he is.
Oh, God.
He plays himself.
He shows up in the support group for Famous Brothers.
That's right.
He's also in Born on the 4th of July, the Oliver Stone Tom Cruise movie.
He's probably the second the second tier Baldwin, right?
Yeah, so first tier them. Daniel, second tier Steven, third tier Alec, right?
Wait, what about
Daniel
Billy?
The one, who's the...
Yeah, there's. I was going to say there's a
who's
fourth
Who's in
one.
Vampires?
That's Daniel.
Okay.
That's the one who kind of looks like Alec.
He kind of looks like Alec, but he's like bigger and like heavier.
They all look like you photocopied one of them.
Well, Stephen Baldwin looks like if you photocopied, like if the photocopier kind of broke halfway through and, and then by the end of it, it's just just some weird
looking
thing.
What is Billy Baldwin in? Is he like the older one?
No, he was in Backdraft. He was like the youngest one.
He's right. He's also in Sliver.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the one that in the shadow, Alec Baldwin looks like Billy Baldwin when he puts on the shadow mask. It looks like Billy Baldwin.
It's kind of like that, like, evolution chart. You could put them all together into, like...
They're evolving, yeah.
Stephen doesn't look like really any one of them. He looks like he got the worst of all of them.
I can
and
see
don't
it.
Get confused. The guy in Firefly is not a Baldwin.
I know.
Adam Baldwin.
The Adam Baldwin, who's also in Predator 2. The
fake
Baldwin.
And neither
Baldwin.
Is the star of Phantasm. He's not a Baldwin as well, either.
Is his name Baldwin, though?
It is Baldwin.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a famous, popular name.
That's why I'll be naming my child Baldwin de Clue, just in case they get confused.
Baldwin's...
Do you remember there's a scene in this movie where they're in the jail cell, and Gazoo comes in and, like, projects a scene that happened earlier?
Yes.
For it's like, was the movie that convoluted at that point? They're like, we can't connect these dots logistically.
Yes.
Let's just have them watch a scene from earlier in the movie.
They have no faith in their audience. Clearly.
Well, I don't.
No, it's like Gazoo wasn't there. It's just they're like, how can we give them motivation to get out of this jail cell? Let's show them a scene that took place earlier.
I wish Gazoo had more fourth wall breaking stuff in this movie, because it starts with him seeing the Universal logo, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, do you see that logo? And then showing a flashback, but like, do more stuff, like realize you're in a movie, play jokes like that.
Yeah, there's some fourth wall stuff in this movie, but it's nowhere near enough. And also, Kazoo disappears for like 45 minutes.
He's a very expensive effect.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy with it because I don't like him, but it's kind of just like, oh, right, this. Like, and then he's like, oh, I'm studying, you know, mating rituals. It goes away and then it comes back at like kind of the end. And yeah, he kind of helps them break out of the jail cell. It was kind of funny that Barney is like, oh, I can just walk through the bars. I mean, I kind of laughed.
I guess.
I'm sorry. I'm clearly the dum-dum in this episode.
That's my favorite thing, I guess, Barney walking through the bars. I got nothing. We're at the end of the movie.
Sure.
Joe, you got to pick one too.
We're almost there.
Going to have to be Mr. Mark Addy here.
Oh, yeah,
oh, yeah,
okay.
You love Mark Addy.
Right. In general.
What, nobody likes the Anne Margaret version of...
Oh,
Viva
she sounds so old.
Homer!
Oh, homie.
It's also like after all of the plot resolves, so it's like Chip is out there dancing with... It doesn't make any sense from a... Like, why are we ending the movie with all these characters together? Wait, is that before or after the wedding?
I think this is after the wedding. There's a big conga line.
I think
line.
It's before because they don't they have a big like dance sequence outside of the casino?
That's after the wedding.
They get married in the casino?
And then go back to the casino.
Yeah, I guess they get married in Vegas.
I mean,
I don't know.
I actually liked that big choreographed dance scene because the whole movie felt kind of small, especially mm-hmm. when you're in these casino sets and you're like, oh, like it feels kind of, you know, small in scope. But then they get a whole bunch of extras. They have dancers and our cast is actually doing a choreographed dance. It felt like a, you know, a musical.
Mark Addy was like, get out of my way. I got this one. And then he like rips all his clothes off.
He was in, like,
Mark,
Monty.
No!
Wrong movie.
Oh, now you're on a list.
I hope there won't be a full Monty 2 coming soon to Disney Plus in a limited series.
Oh God,
you're joking, but I it could be real.
No, it exists.
Yeah,
it's real.
It's out.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Oh my God,
it's already out.
There was a problem too. One of the actors got fired for some kind of assault allegations
oh,
or something.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it came out in 2023.
And I think Tom Wilkinson, one of his last things he did is that.
Is he in the original?
Dear God.
I think he is.
I've never actually seen the full Monty.
It's 8 episodes long. Do you think you need to spend 8 hours with the full Monty guys?
Was this after the movie and it's them like, you know, they're busy.
It's a classic like Trainspotting 2.
They're like stripping business has failed.
It's the fuller Monty.
Yeah.
It's about they navigate Sheffield and its crumbling healthcare, education, and employment
sectors. Jesus Christ. Okay, I don't want to see this.
But anyway, so the movie's over, right? They get married.
They have a conga line.
Viva Rock Vegas! Yeah.
Fred and Wilma get married. They realize they don't need money.
Everybody bursts into the Flintstones song at the wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And that's Hanna-Barbera in that scene, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
I figured.
That we cut the two old men at one point.
Who hate each other. They hated each other by this point.
They were probably filmed separately.
Yeah, they CG'd them in. That was like $40 million of the budget right there.
CG'ing Hanna and Barbera.
Yeah, they do the conga line.
Get out, say.
Mick Jagger is back to sing Viva Rock Vegas.
Oh, right. It's like, yeah, even like the villains come back and they're with everyone. Everyone's having a good time. Everything's all... I feel like kids' movies around this time used to all end this way. Yes. There'd be like a big musical number.
Well, that's Shrekification.
But Shrek was
Even though Shrek
after
came
this.
Out in 2001. Yeah.
But no, you're
like,
right.
Every animated film would be like, you got to move it, move it. And it's like Garfield and like Odie.
You got to move it, I think is from Ice Age, right?
I don't know.
Madagascar.
Wait, okay.
No, Madagascar.
I never remember what is, it's Marmaduke. It's like What I Like About You, I think, when they're all dancing at the end. What I Like About You.
Previous episode.
One of Justin's favorites, the Three Stooges movie, ends with a musical number too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, does it? I don't remember.
Over the end credits, there's I forget the song, but it's like, it's
I was laughing too hard by the time I hit the end credits.
He was too busy wiping tears away from his face.
Mm-hmm. We gotta do the Garfield movie on this. There's two of them too. He goes to Paris, I think, in the second one.
Well, there's a new one coming out.
Directed by the guy who did Chicken Little and Emperor's New Groove.
Oh,
shit. Colin, did you say your favorite thing?
I did. I liked the remote control that Chip does. He pushes the button.
It wasn't the Brian Seltzer saw?
It's Setzer, for God's sake.
Seltzer.
And as previously said, I like Dino. So I get two favorite things for this episode.
Sure.
Closing thoughts on this movie.
Well,
don't make me watch it again.
I didn't hate it, guys.
No, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. It's just the story is so lame.
Okay, how about this? Since we have Joe on, better or worse than Baby's Day Out?
Worse.
Yeah, I go worse.
I would also say worse.
Colin.
Maybe.
Come on now. How about you, April? What do you think?
I'm going to go even.
I'm waffling. I think I might go even.
Yeah. Because Baby's Day Out does have a lot of good stuff, too. You know, you got the three guys. The three guys.
What is the good stuff in Viva Rock Vegas?
Well, as I've said, you know, there's jokes that I laughed at. You know, I like Mick Jagger. I like the practical effects. I like Jane Krakowski. I like Dino.
All I'm thinking of is, like, I'm thinking back to Baby's Day Out, and I'm just thinking of the mom scenes. I'm like, ugh.
They're awful.
Baby's Day Out rotten. Felt longer.
It did.
It was. It was 100
Definitely
minutes.
Did.
Oh, boy. Yeah. This 130 clean hour and a half.
90 minutes.
I meant 130.
It's
this one, like,
minutes.
Just dragged itself over the 90-minute mark. Like, it's like 90-ish.
And also, is it just me or did the credits seem like insanely long?
I hit off as soon as I saw cast.
Yeah,
I was out.
Yeah, you want to see if there was any bloops, Joe, that happened of them having fun on set?
Yeah.
No, I watched the behind the scenes making of. It's also really funny to watch whenever there's a wide shot in the filming of this movie, they have like sandals on.
Yes.
Really?
So I'm wondering whose job it was to coordinate who would collect the sandals when it was going to go back to a farther back shot.
Wait, is it a thing that they're supposed to be barefoot?
Yeah, absolutely.
They're always barefoot.
They're not Christ and his disciples. They're,
Hey, you know what they didn't do in this movie that they do in the first? The walking, you know, through the car.
They did.
They do. They do it at the beginning when they cross a bridge.
Yeah. Oh, I might have been making a drink or something. I missed it. okay, well, Viva Rock Vegas. It's available on iTunes.
Don't buy it, guys.
Well,
come on.
Joe, did you get the Blu-ray?
No, I had already had a DVD combo of this and the first one. So one of those great discs that you have to flip.
Yeah.
No.
And I always do it the wrong way.
That one has a double discs like that have a tendency to have disc rot. So enjoy those special features while you can.
Glad I saw it.
Yes. And yeah, I'm also I'm glad I watched this. I enjoyed it. And if anything, it's going to inspire me to go back and revisit the original, and I'll appreciate it, I'm sure, a lot more.
And you have to make Colin watch it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Will.
Okay,
I absolutely will.
I'll definitely join.
Yeah.
Although I feel like I've already seen everything.
Yeah, but you know, you haven't.
The full frontal nudity will really strike you as a surprise.
Oh, yes. Ooh, that's
exactly. The like hardcore triple rock sex scene.
All right, I'm sold.
Triple X sex scene.
With a great kazoo.
Vin Diesel's here. Uh-oh.
So if you want to email the podcast, we're at nosuchthingasabadmovie@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter and Instagram as well. You can just search us at nosuchthingpod. And consider supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/nosuchthingasabadmovie. We have a ton of extra content on there, over 100 mini episodes where we talk about new movies and popular bad movies. We've got commentary tracks, Q&As. It's a great place. And if you're on the $5 level, you can get one of those bonus episodes every 2 weeks. And next week, we're talking about the new Roadhouse with special guest Joe Ramone. So check that out. Don't you want to know what we have to say about the new Roadhouse? And maybe we'll talk about the old one, too. Who knows? And if you want to find me, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at April Edmansky.
You can find me on all social medias under my name, Justin DeClue, DeClouX. And somebody mentioned on my YouTube channel, Film Trap, that they want me to advertise it more on this show. So check it out, Film Trap. I recently did an hour-long video where I talk about beating, and by that I mean just rolling credits on, Elden Ring.
You can find me, you chill, on Twitter, Sergeant Zima, SGTZIMA.
And Joe, what would you like to shill on our podcast?
Oh boy, let's see.
What would you like
that
to
That seems like a word
shell.
We shouldn't be saying. What is the root of that word?
I'll be at shell. the Berlin area flea market this Saturday and Sunday with Ooh. I'm just kidding. You can find me on all socials at Joe Ramone, and I'm Hats Off Entertainment on YouTube, and our podcast is Almost Cult Classics, the podcast on all podcast platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. So check that out. Yeah, big fan of your YouTube channel, Hats Off Entertainment. Yeah, lots of really, really interesting videos on older comedy movies and some new stuff, too. So that's Viva yeah. Rock Vegas.
You were responsible for this episode, us watching
I'm
this
sorry.
Movie today.
I'm sorry. It's
okay. Yeah. But I can't
you
think
did
of...
You did come to me with the idea, so...
Yeah,
it's
this is true.
True. It was
wait,
it was
wait,
actually
wait.
Colin's
so Colin
idea.
Came to Joe and said, let's do Viva Rock Vegas.
Yes.
And Colin turned around at the end of this and said, Joe, this is your fault. Wait a minute.
You hold the blame.
Yes, I'm throwing you under the bus. This is why we had you on.
yeah, you're throwing you under the bus, putting your feet out, and running you over, literally.
Just like one of those rock cars.
Yep.
So yeah, that's Viva Rock Vegas. Joe, thank you for joining us. And also thank you to all of our listeners for sticking with us for 150 episodes. We've been doing this, I think, for like 6 years now or something like
really?
That. Yeah, I think it's been over 5 years. So thank you everyone who has supported us, and thank you everyone who has listened. And if you enjoy the podcast, let us know, and keep sending us ideas for new episodes to do. And that's it for this week. I'm April Edmansky.
I'm Justin DeClue.
I'm Colin Cunningham.
I'm Joe Ramone. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for being here, Joe.
And remember, there's no such thing as a bad movie.